This is Pure Decking show number 403 for Thursday, August something, whatever the current year is. I don't even know what day it is anymore. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and questioning the nature of time, apparently. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Madman. What is up, Madman?
Nothing much. I've been listening to 1984 while working and drinking beer.
While working.
Making the day go by faster.
Yeah, I could probably get away with it, but it'd be the one time, hey, can you drive to the data center? No, I'm smashed. It's like, you've been on conference calls for hours with senior management. Yep, why do you think I'm smashed?
Every time they ask me to do something stupid, I take a shot. That's what makes the day tolerable.
I would die.
I have a vomit bucket next to the next to the desk.
And RU is here. RU, how full is your vomit bucket next to the desk?
Well, now that I'm back working with the Adventures of Audio Tech with Morps again, my vomit bucket is extremely fucking full. Along with the shit in the piss bucket. But as always, we'll get there eventually. You know, the car was running correctly. We just decided to pull the engine out for no fucking reason. But it'll end up faster and slicker.
We hope. Yeah.
Yeah. We Morps likes to do this. Everything's working fine. Fuck it. Pull it apart. We can make it better. And eventually it does get better. But it's just the 3 to 4 months of limping along.
Well,
for a while.
I wanted to replace my headset because the headset I've been using is falling apart.
I will talk all sorts of wild shit about you changing stuff.
I know you will. I don't care. I'm still
explaining. It's why I like
it,
man. It's why I like it, because I look at a house and I go, that's fine. And you go, it could do with another story. What? We don't need it, man. This is perfect. This house is great. Ah, fuck it. Put another roof on top. We're going to go out and have another level up. All right. Well, yeah. You know, it's a shitty deal while it's happening, but
as soon as it's
finished,
done, now it's time to build the bunker. Wait, yeah. What? Bunker? Yeah, yep,
exactly.
We're building a bunker.
We're building a basement under the house that's already here.
So
it'll get there.
It'll get there. Actually, it shouldn't be too bad, but I've designed and 3D printed some replacement parts for this headset and ordered the new padding earlier today. So one of the things I'm going to be doing, since my replacement headset didn't work out and I redid the audio system to try to use the new headset and then we discovered issues, is I'm going to remake or repair this headset as much as I can. It's the strap was down to just the metal bits, like all the leather had flaked off really badly, and I tried to put new padding on it, and it just kind of disintegrated. So it really was just down to the metal bits of the band, and so I had wrapped some neoprene around it just so it was tolerable, and I thought, okay, it's time for a new headset. And I was trying this wireless one out, which, you know, if I had never used good audio equipment, probably would have been fine. But
the audio snobs on the other end having to listen.
Well, I didn't want to use that for the show. I knew
no, I know.
It was good enough for the show. But then when the desktop mic wasn't quite working out either, it's like, well, shit. So, we got to preserve that signature sound. And actually,
that low quality you've been expecting every week.
Damn right. But I still haven't quite figured out what was wrong with that desk mic. That thing should have worked. There shouldn't be anything wrong with it. I messed around with it a bit earlier, you know, off of TeamSpeak off air, all the recordings sounded comparable to this one. So I don't know. I don't know what was wrong with it, but it doesn't matter. Not really. We'll get it straightened out, and I'll just rebuild this thing and solder some longer cables on it, because that's one of the problems I'm having is the damn cord's not long enough. And the headset I bought is actually a fantastic headset for using with WebEx for work. So I put it on my work machine, and that actually worked really well, better than the Bluetooth headset I've been using. So there we go. But the other thing is I've noticed some noise in the setup that I've managed to filter out and find, you know, like, don't touch the wires. You don't get the noise. So that's the other reason I was messing with it, is I was getting some feedback noise. I was just doing a good job of hiding it. So the next couple of shows, if the audio's off, you know, you can get a full refund of your purchase price. Just let us know.
We send all complaints to Cheapio Box. Go fuck yourself.
Well, we could always break that headset back out and do the 1940s radio jokes we were doing the other day with it.
Yeah.
So. Anyways. So let's get started here. RU sent me a version of this story, but then decided he didn't like it. But I found this version on Krebs, which is... I want to talk about it, but not for the reason you would think. Porn clip disrupts virtual court hearing for the alleged Twitter hacker. Perhaps fittingly, a web-streamed court hearing for the 17-year-old alleged mastermind of the July 15 mass hack against Twitter was cut short this morning after mischief makers injected a pornographic video clip into the proceeding. Whoops. The incident occurred at a bond hearing held via the video conferencing service Zoom by Hillsborough County, Florida criminal court in the case of Graham Clark. The 17-year-old from Tampa was arrested earlier this month on suspicion of social engineering his way into Twitter's internal computer systems and tweeting out a Bitcoin scam throughout the profile. So, okay. Notice of the hearing was available via public records with the Florida State Attorney's Office. The notice specified the Zoom meeting time and ID number, essentially allowing anyone to participate in the proceeding. Before the hearing officially began, it was clear that the event would be Zoom bombed. That's because while participants were muted by default, they were free to unmute their microphones and transmit their own video streams to the channel. Sure enough, less than a minute had passed before one attendee, not party to the case, interrupted a discussion between Clark's attorney and the judge by streaming a live video of himself adjusting his face mask. A few minutes later, somebody interjected loud music. So... it became clear that the presiding judge, Christopher C. Nash, was personally in charge of administering the video hearing when, after roughly 15 seconds of random chatter interrupted the prosecutor's response, Nash told participants he was removing the troublemakers as quickly as he could. The pictures they have from the Zoom meeting are hilarious because it's both the judge and the prosecutor just looking aghast at what's on their screens.
Dude, and it wasn't your regular porn either. It was, it was of the black variety and of us eating our close up POV sort of thing of us eating.
I'm just picturing the picture of the state attorney there with that video on his screen. Cause
yeah, it was pretty fucking amusing.
They
dude.
Didn't learn from the Zimmerman trial.
No.
Why?
And Jiffy calling, man. That's classic.
Okay. So here's what I want to talk about. Why the fuck are they using Zoom for court, for any official business like this?
Oh, it's free.
No, I get the woo flu shit. It's there are hundreds of video conferencing services available, many of them private, as in you can just set up a dedicated link-to-link system and use it, or... you know, not publish the meeting number. I get that it's a public records thing, but you don't have to publish the meeting number. You could redact it from the public version or simply state it will be communicated it'll be communicated ahead of time by the court and filed with the court after the fact so they have a record of it, right? I mean, I get it. but you're using a public service that is getting known for these interruptions. I mean, we were watching some of those videos the other day of people Zoom bombing classrooms, and some of them were hilarious. Most of them weren't. But, yeah, I mean, it's like you would think they would set up like a dedicated video conferencing system for the court to use, record it, and then just make the video available as part of the public records. I mean, come on. If you want to live simulcast it, set up a private Zoom meeting and then have whoever's running Zoom also, I don't know, stream it on Twitch or something. Am I missing something here?
No, and when all this Wu Flu broke out and everybody's talking about Zoom, I was surprised that governments around the world didn't have their own programs ready to go just for this scenario.
I mean, I've been working with Cisco systems for years that have had video conferencing just as part of the phone system.
Yeah, I would have thought they had their own private secure network to do all this governing, but instead they're using a free online fucking service.
Their private service is set up from the jail to the courthouse closed circuit. They never thought of having someone from their house zoom in or teleconference in.
There are ways to do it, but you know, you should go ahead and pay for the premium account since you're using it for official business, and maybe put a password on the Zoom meeting. Of course, they probably would have put that in the public filings too. And the password is cats234. I mean, you know.
Oh, dude, you could have had it open, but had everyone muted. From what I understand, you can do that from the control console. Like you can allow just say X, Y, and Z to talk.
Usually that's
And show video.
So I don't know on Zoom. I know on WebEx that's a paid feature where you do conferences where you have a whole bunch of people who are essentially clients, and then a few people who are actually in the conference who can broadcast to everybody. That's like a pay-for feature with WebEx. I don't know if that's something you can do in Zoom. He had it set where people were just muted by default, but there's nothing to stop you from unmuting yourself, which is what they were doing.
Exactly. And then show us eating videos in a courtroom.
I mean, if you want it publicly broadcast, I'm sure you could have called your local news station and they would have worked with you to set up a broadcast.
I'm laughing at it. I think it's great. And no harm, no foul, really.
I don't know. I'm thinking like disrupting the legal process.
I know what you're saying, Batman.
I'm thinking from the photo of the Florida State Attorney there. There was some harm, psychological harm.
Oh, yeah, somebody had never been introduced to that level of pornography before. That was a whole new kettle, you know?
I mean, the look on his face
oh
is...
Oh, my.
You know, that's somebody who's going to be doing some shameful Google searches in about a week and a half as he's trying to sort out what he just saw.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Andrew Warrens doesn't look like he's seen too much big black booty being eaten before. He's definitely in shock. I don't believe this kid did it. I mean, 17, if he did that, he needs to be working for an agency.
Oh, but, well, that's the fun thing.
Could they get a more sinister-looking photo of this kid, though? He looks like he's about to fucking kill something.
That's the joke, right? You know, you pick what photo you want based on how you want to portray somebody. Get the lighting right, go in and tweak it with some Photoshop. Oh, they don't look evil enough. Let's see if we can find one where they're about to sneeze so we can get that downward look. Oh, and if we want to make them look innocent, let's go find a picture of them when they were in middle school.
Yeah, that's a really bad photo of him.
Of course, he's 17. He's probably trying to look like he's terrifying on purpose.
I mean, now that I'm looking at the state, the Florida attorney there, I mean, he almost looks shocked, like, holy shit, they found my porn stash. How did that get on?
I just couldn't, that's what I wanted to talk about, is I couldn't stop looking at that photo and just laughing my ass off at this guy.
Yes, like, at first it was like disgust, but now the more I look at it, he's like, holy shit, they found my porn.
It's like, I'm going to have to explain this to somebody in a position of authority someday. I mean, So,
I just pity the stenographer. and the porno sounded like this.
And at that point, there was a loud scream from a random person on Zoom. Actually, they got to go back to the recording and figure out who it was for the stenographer, don't they? So with the username eatmyass6969, then proceeded to said fuck you judge before was removed from meeting. I mean,
let's just hope the dude covered his tracks, whoever displayed that public image of insurrection there. Or an erection, who can tell?
It's stupid. But, I mean, again, it comes back to... Yeah, it's like, seriously? These courts don't have a better system for doing telecom than the same shit everyone else is using?
I mean, when you look at the last 6 months, man, there's some glaring holes in the way states have done stuff.
No doubt.
I don't just mean United States, but I mean all around the world. You know, independent states have just failed their fucking people one after the other in serious mismanagement, miscalculation, misinformation. That's been the killer here, is the misinformation around this. And then the instant you're not up on the latest information, you're branded a heretic or a fucking conspiracy theorist or something like that. Because, well, do I have my mask today, or is that yesterday's advice? Am I staying home, or can I go out? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
like,
it's
hours can I go out between?
I mean, you're getting into Warhammer 40K territory. You know, it's like heresy.
Yeah. And then if I do the wrong thing in public, you know, if I anger the mob, am I going to get beaten for buying fucking Rice Krispies? You know what I mean? Just the crazy shit that's been going on around this fucking, oh, you don't have a mask? Get him! Like, the person's not wearing a mask. They could have a deadly disease. Wouldn't you go the opposite direction instead of throwing fists at them?
Or maybe they just have asthma and they can't wear the fucking mask.
The logic just fails me, man. I mean, we truly are in this ridiculous mob idea of just you can fucking lash out at anyone and expect not to get any blowback from it.
Well,
I mean
we're become a nation of children, so I'm certain the country's done in a generation or two if we don't have a massive swing in the other direction.
But yeah, if you feel like you've got the right to go up and do something, be really careful, because you don't know who that person is. You don't know their background, you don't know what mindset they're in. Shit, you might be just the reason the fuck they feel like snapping a neck. You know what I mean?
Well, not to mention, this is a country that has gun rights. If you think you're going to go up and just, you know, scream in somebody's face and beat the shit out of them, you don't know who might potentially pull a pistol out of their pocket and just say, fuck you.
Well, we've seen that in the last couple of months, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That usually keeps things rather polite when there's an option of, you know, you don't know who's you know, fucking packing. But I think a lot of these protesters have forgotten that's a thing, because a lot of people don't carry anymore because they haven't felt the need to for such a long time. I felt the need to start carrying lately. I don't know about you guys.
We don't do firearms. I'm not carrying a knife, but I'm not harassing people on the street either. I'm waiting until I get harassed, so I won't stop wearing my jersey. I have a Chicago Blackhawks jersey, and the Blackhawks have a Native American as a symbol.
Nice.
Ever since the Washington Redskins got blown out.
Yeah.
At least the Blackhawks, you know, they put their foot down and said, no, we're not changing it.
Yet, God forbid you honor a culture by saying we think your people are so damn impressive and tough, we're going to name our sports team after you.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been wearing that jersey for 22 years. I ain't fucking taking it off. Yeah. But one reason, man, they're not paying me they're not giving me a check each month, so they're not employing me. And Pretty sure they're not a deity, so they have no authority over me. He can go fuck himself.
Madman, you've been quiet.
Oh, I'm just somewhat surprised that they made all the information to connect to it public. Because as far as public records go, that's what the stenographer's there for. And they can record the Zoom call for posterity. They didn't need to make any of that record public. If the public wanted to see it, they could have gone into the courtroom.
Well, I mean, and even if it does need to be in a particular filing or brief with the judge, surely you can request that the Zoom information be sealed until after the meeting, just so you don't have that. I don't
think... Pretty sure that's how they'll go forward with it now.
I mean, I don't think that's... Maybe, I'm not a lawyer, maybe there's something I'm missing here, but I'm pretty sure you don't have to publish the Zoom meeting information ahead of time. Now, you probably should... It probably does need to show up in filing or paperwork somewhere when it's done. So you say this meeting was done over Zoom for the recording of it. Go find, you know, wherever it's stored, whatever it's referenced as. I don't know how they follow their systems. But, I mean, surely there's a you know, you'd make a record of it. You'd record the Zoom, sure. But, you know, I don't think you actually have to file the connection information ahead of time. But, again, it blows my mind that they didn't have something set up. I mean, although granted, you know, we were making fun of last week getting all the, getting all these, tech leads on a conference with Congress and, you know, Bezos talking into mute. But I think they were on WebEx, at least. So.
I'd hope the Congress is a little more locked down than, you know, federal courts. They're all locked down, but it's clearly not the... the way it is.
But they didn't get Zoom bombed. So that would have been great. Like, you know, you're just sitting there talking to Bezos in the middle of that.
Oh, big black ass eating comes on. Fuck yes.
That means that clip is now in the Library of Congress.
Congress.
I don't know. Ready to move on?
I am.
What's the next story?
It's from theindependent.co.uk. Google accidentally enabled a feature for Google Home users, which lets the smart speaker listen to the sounds of objects in your house. A user on Reddit spotted a notification on his phone from his smart speaker, which alerted him to the fact that his smoke alarm was going off while he was cooking. Usually, Google Home devices only respond to its active wake words, such as OK Google or Hey Google. Hey Google. Okay, Google, search big black ass eating. Just for anybody playing this on a speaker. Which, by the way, if you have an Android smartphone and you have Okay Google disabled and you decide to use the maps, guess what's re-enabled while you're using the maps? I discovered this listening to a different show where somebody made one of those jokes and my phone started Googling some interesting things. It's like, damn it, I thought I had all that turned off. And then I discovered that when you use the GPS on the map, it gets turned back on as a safety feature while you're driving. It's like, yep, safety feature, sure.
Perhaps I'm jaded, but I don't think they accidentally turned it on.
Perhaps you're correct. So, but in this instance, the speaker was listening out to a passive sound and make my dumb smoke detector smart, the Reddit user wrote. Other users reported getting alerts for the sounds of glass breaking, popped bubble wrap, an air compressor tank, and other high-pitched noises that sounded like alarms. In a statement to Protocol, a Google spokesperson said that the feature was accidentally enabled through a recent software update, which has now been reversed. Although the feature provided greater security, it is a trade-off of less privacy. Google has adamantly pushed that the only way its smart speaker system will listen to users is via its wake word, except when it doesn't. The use of ambient monitoring for other reasons could lead to questions about what else Google will request to monitor in the future, especially since that all that stands in the way of users' acquiescence is a privacy policy that few will ever read. Google is not the only company with this feature. Amazon's Echo speaker added a feature like this in 2018 called Alexa Guard. As well as listening for out for suspect noises, Alexa will also check to see if it hears people whispering. If they are, it will respond more quietly than normal. Tells you something about the microphone arrays in these devices, right?
Yes, it does.
It's trying for me not to hear. I think I need to listen harder.
It's like, I seem to be stuck in the bathroom with a few piles of towels over me. I better turn the gain up on my microphone like nobody's business.
Also, I'm thinking your Alexa's become like fucking Hal. You have to go into the, you know, soundproof area, cover your mouth.
It's like the USSR. You got to go find the one area the damn thing can't hear you so you don't get accused of, I don't know, whatever it is we're accusing people of today. I guess racism?
Yeah, but just fucking throw it out. Throw it out the window.
Or maybe don't buy them. Maybe you shouldn't buy these fucking smart speakers. I mean, seriously, are you too lazy to pull a phone out of your pocket and type something into it that you have to say, hey, Google, you know, and then ask it a math question? I mean, seriously? What do you do with these smart speakers? I don't get that.
I don't know either, man.
I mean, is it that big of a deal to pull your phone out or walk over to an end table and pick up your iPad and do whatever it is you need to do without having to yell at it? I mean, I get the Star Trek appeal of just being able to say computer, fire photons or whatever, but you know how quickly that we get extremely annoying in real life? To always have the computer listening.
The people I know that do it don't even notice it, because unless you know it's there, you don't know it's there. The thing really doesn't interact with you that much unless you ask it to.
Well, as well as listening for suspect noises, Alexa will also check to see if it hears. Oh, I already read that. However, Alexa Guard must be enabled by its users via voice as they are leaving the house, rather than being on all the time. This is not the first time Google has activated a microphone feature its customers did not know about. In 2019, the company installed hidden microphones in its Nest secure alarm systems, but the addition had been left off the box and in the product's webpage because of an quote-unquote error. Google said the addition was never intended to be a secret, but users only realized the company could have been potentially listening to users until Google announced the update that would allow it to use Google Assistant. So, yeah. So, yeah, literally Google just turned this on at will. And the truth is, for most of these companies, it's not going to be malice. It's going to be incompetence. Obviously, what's probably really happened here is somebody was playing with a feature at Google HQ, put a build together that turned it on, and that build somehow got pushed out through the system to everybody, right? And that's the thing, and that's, I know I talked about it a little bit last week too, and I've talked with you guys off, you know, show a little bit about it, where I'm trying to work on some philosophy of data management and computer use, and this kind of shit, where you have a third party company just totally in control of the device, you have to trust that company completely, and be aware that not everybody that works at that company is going to be perfect. They're human. They're either going to fall temptation to something. They're going to fuck up. That's more likely than anything. It's just somebody makes a fuck up, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. And now you have to deal with the consequences of it. So, but most people aren't aware that they need to be making these kind of decisions because, you know, they see the TV commercial that they can just yell at Alexa to order toilet paper or something and, you know, decide, ooh, I want that. I don't know why. I don't see the appeal of them. I really don't.
No, I didn't do
it. I know several people who have them, and the only use I've ever heard for one of them is they use it as a, with Google Voice. So use it for phone calls, for speakers, or for a speakerphone. And
the people I've seen use it as their home stereo. Just like Google Play whatever and just have music playing in the background, or ask it what the weather is as they're getting ready to leave.
Well, actually, some of them have pretty good speaker ROMs, so I could see using it for an audio system. But, yeah, again, the whole just look at your phone. I mean, seriously? But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see this being something. Well, I doubt I'll have one. How about that? I don't see a point of it. I don't see the usage of it. So
I'll never have one.
I mean, would
I don't
you buy
have
one?
One. I don't see one buying one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's.
But
I mean, I know some other people who've trained their kids. They can, you know, ask it to call for help if something's going on. But that was a pretty rarefied situation where somebody was dealing with an ex, so they had trained their kids, their young kids, to what to say for it to call the police if somebody was breaking in because they were worried about their ex breaking into the house.
That's actually a purpose I haven't thought of.
That
might be the only emergency way kids have to contact things anymore.
That's
like when we were growing up, there was a landline. If I needed to contact an aunt or an uncle for some reason, or call 911, walk over use the landline. Do you have a landline? Will you get one when you have children?
No.
So, from the time they're old enough to actually talk to someone, to the time you think they're old enough to have a phone, the only way they're going to be able to contact emergency services is through your phone, and are you going to have them able to unlock it?
I don't know. Maybe. That's something you got to think about, right? If you have kids. Of course, if they're that young, they should probably never be alone.
Well, I was just thinking, I'd never thought about getting a kid a phone until they're like 12 or older, maybe even older than that. But I know of kids that have needed to call 911 when they were 7. And it wasn't just mommy and daddy going through a bad divorce. They called the fire department. Something was on fire. Now, they weren't the only ones in the house, but they knew what to do.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know, because I have a hard time seeing a usage for them. That's not a bad one. It's really not.
Well, that's the only one I can think of simply because no one gets landlines anymore.
But, yeah, like I said, I don't know. I don't know where to fit that one in with a appropriate usage philosophy, right? That just seems like a, I don't know. So, but if they're prone to just listening all the time anyways, now, I'm sure there's not an army of, you know, humans sitting there listening to all these recordings all the time. They're just going through a system. They're flagging key tag words and getting filed away, which means they could get pulled back up and listened to if something triggers. Like, oh, we need to see all mentions of the word, I don't know, banana. I don't know why. I mean, and you know, so now your old recording that you never knew was happening because you never said the wake word gets pulled back up and listened to because some crazy thing has happened, and now anybody who said the word banana is a suspect. I don't know. I mean,
I'm just seeing the cops asking for all the recordings made by Alexa with this serial number.
Or more likely, all the recordings in this area because we think something may have happened. Yeah, so now you're caught up in it. And even if you said something completely innocent, you know, or you know, like maybe you've got somebody yelling at a video game, right? Well, of course, the recording doesn't know that. They just hear yelling. So you're yelling at a video game, and the next thing you know, SWAT's breaking down your door. And you're like, I'm not a Twitch streamer. What the fuck? So, but
I don't know how common mass warrants like that are, or if they really happen.
Well, they've happened once or twice. We've talked about them on the show when they've happened. So
we usually talked about them happening in China or Taiwan. I don't know if we've ever talked about them happening in the U.S.
We did talk about them trying to get all the recordings from a certain device on from Amazon in the States.
That was a single device. That wasn't all the devices in an area.
Mm, that's a good point. Well, I mean, they're doing it with Ring.
They are actively going
out and trying to get...
Ring's actually doing a voluntary setup with cops, though.
Yeah.
So it's not the cops asking for all of the Ring info in this area. It's Ring saying, "Hi, we've set up this area. Would you like all the info? I think we can help you reduce crime." And then they're using that as a selling point for selling Ring. Your neighborhood watch again.
Give it time.
Except it's automated neighborhood watch and you have no control over it.
Give it time. I'm sure somebody's going to think of it and decide that that's a good idea to request. So,
I don't know that we have a legal system that allows for it, though.
Well, I could see somebody trying it as a theory, so we'll see.
Well, I could see it being tried as a theory, and I'm just saying it's either going to go through, in which case it's just more proof that the Constitution is words and can't actually protect you, or we'll have a judge saying, "No, you can't actually do that. Probable cause doesn't apply to a neighborhood. It applies to a person."
Well, hopefully you're right. I hope you're right. Next one up is from thehackernews.com. You gave your phone number to Twitter for security. Twitter used it for ads.
Yeah.
After exposing private tweets, plain text passwords, and personal information for hundreds of thousands of users, here's a new security blunder social networking company Twitter admitted today. Twitter announced that the phone numbers and email addresses of some users provided for two-factor authentication protection have been used for targeted advertising purposes through the company, although the company said it was unintentional. In a blog post, the company said an error in its tailored audiences and partner audience advertising system inadvertently, that's a hell of a name, inadvertently used the information provided by users for security reasons to run targeted ads based on the advertiser's own marketing lists. When an advertiser uploaded their marketing list, we may have matched people on Twitter to their list based on the email or phone number the Twitter account holder provided for safety and security purposes. This was an error, and we apologize. But it still happened. Since Twitter requires users to provide a valid phone number to enable second-factor authentication protection, even when they don't want to rely on the phone's SMS for receiving two-factor code and opt out for security keys or authenticator apps instead, users had no option to prevent themselves from this error or protect themselves from this error. However, Twitter assured that no personal data was ever shared externally with its advertising partners or any of the other third parties that use the tailored audiences feature. The social networking company also said that it does not know how many users were impacted by this error. Quote, we cannot... say what?
Bullshit. We can't tell you how many... We have all the data here. You know how many...
Quote, we cannot say with certainty how many people were impacted by this, but in an effort to be transparent, we wanted to make everyone aware, Twitter wrote. Quote, as of September 17th, we have addressed the issue that allowed this to occur, and we are no longer using phone numbers or email addresses collected for safety or security purposes for advertising. Come on. Last year, Facebook was also caught using phone numbers provided by its users for two-factor protection. However, in that case, the FTC accused the company of intentionally using the data for advertising purposes, which became one of the reasons the FTC issued a $5 billion fine against Facebook in July this year. So, like I was talking about earlier, man, when it comes to working with these companies or storing all your stuff in the cloud, you've got to remember, they're in control. You're not. And any data you provide them, okay, yeah, I'm providing this for purpose X or Y, but, I mean...
They can use it for whatever they want. They have it. You can say, you can borrow my car, but only go to work or to the grocery store. That does not prevent me from going to every strip bar in the tri-state.
Or robbing a bank.
I have the car.
Your car is the getaway car, yeah. So. Whoops.
Although, They made money. I wonder if you could try to do a theft by deception.
That would be so cool. See a bunch of people do that individually. Not as a class.
Profited off of my account through deceptive means.
I'm sure they've got some binding arbitration agreement buried somewhere in the user thing. Although Patreon just got burned on that, so who knows?
I now can't sell that information to these people because you already sold it to them.
So, next one up is from fastcompany.com, and RU sent me this one. Get the link out there. This one's just downright creepy. You remember that old Flash cartoon, Madman Smile?
Yes.
Yeah. Apply for a job at Hilton International and three different computer systems have to approve your application before a human being will look at it. That's the process Sarah Smart, Vice President of Global Recruitment, outlines as she explains how the hotel chains use artificial intelligence to weed out thousands applying for work in customer care. First, an applicant tracking system searches people's resumes for keywords matching the job description. Next, a chatbot asks them a series of yes or no questions to make certain they meet requirements, like do you have interest or do you have internet access for work from home positions? One of the ones who say yes get interviewed, but not by a person. The interview is with a predictive AI application called HireVue. Founded in 2004, the Salt Lake City company raised more than $90 million in venture capital investment. It's a one-way interview, Smart says. The candidate will receive anywhere between 5 to 7 questions that they get a chance to answer. Hilton and HireVue developed these questions together, but they're all designed to determine whether you'll be a friendly worker, an empathetic one, and if you'll be successful in the role. Applicants record their answers inside HireVue's video platform. Then the algorithm gets to work. It breaks down how many prepositions you use, whether or not you smile, and whether or not you smile. Chief Technology Officer Lauren Larson says the tool can examine about 25,000 different data points per video, breaking down your words, your voice, and your face. We have to start with what success looks like in the job, Larson says, explaining how each candidate's analysis connects to individual work capability. Take customer service, he continues. What are the competencies or skills or abilities or traits someone who has to have to do well in that job? Once you identify those, you start to figure out, okay, let's suppose friendliness is a trait. And then when people are friendly, they smile. So that's why the system studies candidates' faces. But should that smile and how many times you show it be what determines whether or not you get a job? Hilton says yes, as Smart explains. It's pass-fail. And since becoming a HireVue client in 2014, 43,000 job seekers have interviewed with the algorithm. Two-thirds, roughly 28,667 people, had their applications rejected without being seen by a single person. As hers is a corporate role, Smart herself did not go through the system. But according to Larson, that's not how the technology is really supposed to be used. As a company, he explains, we're never saying pass-fail. What we do is return a score that is essentially like your SAT score, a percentile ranking of how each individual measures against others who applied it around the same time. Because so much data goes into compiling each analysis, no single smile or frown should keep you from getting work. It would just raise or lower your score by a few points. And only 10 to 30% of that score, depending on the employer, comes from facial expressions. The rest of that is based on the language you use. Still, they're counting how many times you smile in a video with an algorithm. I mean, what if you have bad teeth? You just don't want to, show them off. Or what if you've been told you smile like a serial killer? Would the algorithm
then
know
you should be creepy as hell when you smile, but you better smile.
Is that the is the algorithm go, hang on, that person's creepy when they smile, let's not hire them? Or does it go, ooh, smile, and just count it?
I don't know if they're good enough to tell qualities of smiles yet.
Both Smart and Larson contend that the AI isn't considering anything a human recruiter would, with Smart calling the analysis more sophisticated than that natural sort of gut instinct feeling that people get when they interview someone. If I walked in and you were interviewing me for a job, Larson says, you'd be paying attention to the same things. Are you friendly? Are you a good representation for our brand? Do you have large breasts? No, wait, they didn't say that. At least with an algorithm, he contends recruiters are work for a larger data set. Of the 25,000 data points, HireVue measures, communications director Cynthia Simons says most employers don't analyze them at all, or analyze them all. Hilton doesn't look at the same behavior indicators as Unilever, for example, another HireVue client. Which data points are included in the finished product depends on what our testing proves to be relevant to success in a particular job role. With 5 industrial organizational psychologists overseeing development. Currently, candidates are not given copies of their results, a feature Larson hopes to add in a couple of months. So, oh.
Walk in, give them a firm handshake, and look them in the eye. That's how you get that job, kid.
Well, I was about to stop reading, but I feel like I need to do the next paragraph. To the 28,000 plus Hilton applicants rejected without human involvement, these reports may be helpful, especially if they don't have the same background as existing employers. Asian immigrants, for example, use facial expressions differently than white Americans, which could skew results in the system. Also, HireVue's language analysis begins with speech-to-text conversion, a technology notorious for misunderstanding Southerners. Well, that explains a lot.
That's going to discriminate against me because it's racist.
I mean, you know, I was joking about the big boobs thing, but I could actually see the video analyzing that going, does this person meet the attractiveness requirement for our jobs?
Yeah. And I already know one big reason this is going to be a huge seller. They're trying to get away from you're racist, sexist, or homophobic.
No, they'll just
like, I didn't even talk to the dude. The robot. The robot is the one picking who we hire, not a human.
Until the robots have an uprising, then they'll be using that algorithm for a different reason. My God, do you imagine that kind of algorithm installed in a Terminator? It's like everybody has a smile at the Terminator so it doesn't kill you.
Yeah. Just let the hooks do the work. Don't fight them.
Next up.
You learn to like to smile.
You just walk in with a facial prosthesis with a smile painted on it. You know, a fucking mask.
We were watching some dystopian cartoon series like that. All the adults had to wear a mask with a happy face on it. It was really weird.
I think you're talking about The Purge. Are you talking about The Purge?
No. It was some dystopian animation on YouTube. I'll track it down later and throw you a link.
I was joking with Madman about a old Flash cartoon years ago. Let's see if I can find it.
It's on YouTube now.
But yeah, there it is. It's 12 years old on YouTube, but this thing's older than that. It's
not on Weeble stuff originally. I think.
I remember seeing it on Newgrounds back in the day, but yeah, we'll throw that YouTube link in there for anybody who wants to see it. Yep. Anyways, next one up from ZDNet. Hackers leak passwords for 900 plus enterprise VPN servers. Whoops. A hacker has published today a list of plain text usernames and passwords along with IP addresses for more than 900 Pulse Secure VPN enterprise servers. ZDNet, which obtained a copy of the list with the help of threat intelligence firm Kela, verified its authenticity with multiple sources in cybersecurity community. According to a review, the list includes the IP addresses of PulseSecure VPN servers, PulseSecure VPN server firmware version, SSH keys for each server, a list of all local users and their password hashes, admin account details, last VPN logins, VPN session cookies. So that's a pretty good dump.
Yeah.
It sounds like there was a problem with the PulseSecure server and they were able to dump things out of it. Bank Security, a threat intelligence analyst specializing in financial crime, and the one who spotted the list earlier today, shared it with ZDNet, made an interesting observation about the list and its content. The security researcher noted that all of the PulseSecure VPN servers included in the list were running a firmware version vulnerable to the CVE 2019-11510 vulnerability, which means somebody's developed an actual exploit for the vulnerability. Bank Security believes the hacker who compiled the list scanned the entire Internet IPv4 address space for PulseSecure VPN servers to use the exploit to gain access to the systems, dump server details, then collected all the information into one central repo. Based on timestamps in the list and dates of the scan, the date on the list was compiled between June 24th and July 8th of this year, 2020. ZDNet has also reached out to Bad Packets, a U.S.-based intelligence company that has been scanning the Internet for vulnerable PulseSecure servers since August of 2019 when the vulnerability was made public. Of the 913 unique IP addresses found in the dump, 677 were detected by Bad Packets CTI scans to be vulnerable to the vulnerability when the exploit was made public last year. Bad Packets co-founder and chief research officer told ZDNet today. So there's more to the story, but, you know, the moral is patch your shit. And if you're relying on something to provide security, that's probably going to be the first thing you want to make sure is secure and patched. But it's kind of interesting that the vulnerability gave them that level of access to these systems. They've actually got some screenshots of the dump here. Username, unique ID, password hash, session cookies, a whole bunch of cracked logins. So they may have been getting password hashes and they had to, do a rainbow table, look them up, or crack them on a GPU. But still, that kind of shit's not hard to do. Time-consuming, but not hard.
Then, depending on how often you change your passwords, which a lot of people don't, have time.
If they're corporate, most corporations these days make you do them every 90 days. Now, that said, if you see the password is something like one ring 95 and it doesn't work, start just counting up. 96, 97, 98. See if one of those works, right? Because a lot of people, yep, when they're rotating their passwords, they do that shit. They'll put a number on the end and just increment by one. Or one of my other favorites is they'll just they'll have their password, and then it'll end it with a Q, then a W, then an E, then an R, then a T. You know, people come up with these stupid patterns so they don't have to remember a new password, but they get around the password change algorithms, when really the correct thing to do is set up MFA. If you get proper MFA set up, and by proper is not an easy thing, then really you ought to be able to go in and extend out that password change policy to something a little bit less silly. But, most companies don't put the time and effort in to get it done because it is expensive, and they'd rather their sysops guys be doing stuff that makes them money rather than, you know, going back and reworking things so that their systems don't get hacked, until they do. But it's one of these things of, we're not going to resource you fixing the systems, but when they don't get fixed and we get popped, we're going to blame you for not fixing the systems. It's usually how that conversation goes. That's why you save emails where people say, we're not fixing this because we can't afford it. It's called CYA. And it's a skill I learned a long time ago. When somebody says, no, we're not resourcing you to fix this, make a note of it, screenshot it, save the email. I, to this day, maintain a screenshot folder on my work machine called Lies. And all it is evidence where somebody has said one thing and then said something else. You know how useful those screenshots are?
Oh, I hope not, but I'm thinking pretty useful.
saved my job a couple of times. Being paranoid in the corporate workplace is probably a good thing. Moving on, unless you guys had anything else on that.
I got nothing on that.
All right. Next article. This is from Torum Freak. And it's just not surprising, but it's funny. French anti-piracy agency generated 87,000 euros in fines using €82 million in public funding. Gee, it's almost like these things aren't really interested in, you know, preventing copyright, and more is just people making cash grab. French anti-piracy agency Hadope has published its latest annual report revealing data on its fight against pirates using P2P systems such as BitTorrent. Since its inception 11 years ago, the agency has sent 12.7 million warnings to pirates, generating 87,000 euros in fines. Over the same period, now, okay, so that is over 11 years, they've got 87,000 euros in fines and spent 82 million euros in 11 years. I think that's a bad investment.
Very bad investment.
Over the same period, the agency has cost French taxpayers 82 million euros. Just over a decade ago, France stepped forward with a grand project to tackle the millions of individuals downloading content via peer-to-peer networks such as BitTorrent. In 2010, a newly formed government agency, Hadopi, a high authority for the distribution and protection of intellectual property on the Internet, the country introduced a so-called graduated response system with the aim of sending file sharers escalated warnings carrying the threat of fines and even Internet disconnections. Okay, if you're not going to make them a law enforcement agency, as in you have agents with guns who can arrest people, good fucking luck.
Oh.
Of course, then you have people kicking in doors and shooting people for, you know, downloading a rap album. My God.
That's justifiable. Rap? Fuck.
Could you imagine somebody getting killed because they pirated Nicki Minaj or something like that?
Not the way I want to go.
But eventually the problem will be solved. No one will be downloading Nicki Minaj. Maybe they'll move on to something better.
I needed a bad example. Madman, you're more up to speed on music, on popular music. What's a worse example than Nicki Minaj?
You're going to leave it with that because I listen to okay music.
Kids Bop album. Killed by police for pirating a Kids Bop album. I don't know if that's even a thing anymore.
Although, I could see how they would enforce getting the money. Doesn't France do something similar to the UK with the whole you need a license to have the internet?
Oh, I don't know.
You just don't have your internet license, and now you don't have the internet until you pay us.
Hadopi publishes regular updates on its progress and highly detailed reports, which tend to emphasize the importance of the project, its successes, and justifications for continuing in the face of the online piracy threat. The latest edition continues that trend, but some of the statistics raise questions about whether a system designed to tackle the problems of a decade ago remained fit for purpose. Hadopi's sprawling 128-page report for last year has just been published, revealing that in 2019, rights holders who tracked alleged pirates on BitTorrent-like systems referred 9 million cases to authorities for investigation, a significant decrease from the 14 million referrals made in 2018. However, as highlighted by Next Impact, a referral does not automatically result in a content warning sent to the alleged pirate. In fact, since October 2010, Hadopi has sent out just 12.7 million warnings, a fraction of the number of referrals received from rights holders. Approximately 830,000 warning notices were sent out to alleged pirates in 2019, the lowest number to date. This figure contains 619,687 first strikes and 208,104 second strike notices, which, according to Hodopi, is an indicator of success, since only a third of the first-time offenders go on to reoffend. I think you're measuring your metrics wrong there, buddy. Overall, just 4,210 notices were issued at the third strike stage. At the top end, 1,750 cases representing the most serious matters, in Hodopi's opinion, were subsequently referred to public prosecutor for further potential further action, including maximum fines of 1,500 euros. Hodopi attributes this downward trend mainly to changes in consumption of cultural works on the internet and the unprecedented increase in legal offers. While this assessment is entirely credible, it does warrant further explanation. So they go on and on and on. So pretty much the rest of the article is saying this thing's probably not worth continuing because of how expensive it is versus what they're actually accomplishing. But it's a government agency, and Lord knows those never are efficient. So
they rarely go away. If it goes away, it'll actually be an accomplishment.
Probably true. Anything on that, are you?
No, I'm good on that one, man.
All right. Last article for this week, and there's not really much to talk about on it other than just it's interesting. Twitch now draws as an audience as large as network TV's most popular shows.
Is that all Twitch streamers or a Twitch streamer?
I think it's all. Twitch, the
previous... I guess they're comparing it to all shows, though, right?
Let me read out how the article works, and you can judge from there. Twitch, the preeminent video game live streaming platform, pulled in 7.5 million unique viewers in July of 2020. That's larger than the audience of mega hit network TV shows such as The Bachelor and American Idol, and sets Twitch as the fifth most watched show in this comparison. Viewing numbers have surged. Okay, so they're treating Twitch as one TV show versus everything else.
Well, that's about right, man. It's one channel, just multiple shows.
Yeah.
But it's still eyes on Twitch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And not on commercial television.
Viewing numbers have surged for most online streaming platforms during the pandemic, but will it continue in 2021 and beyond? If we have told you even 10 years ago that a show about people watching other people play video games would have topped the rating charts, you called us crazy. Blah, 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 blah. So anyways, yeah, so they've got the numbers here, and they inserted Twitch in there. America's Got Talent at 9.8 million, The Voice at 8.9, The Masked Singer at 8.6, Survivor at 7.6, Twitch at 7.4, This Is Us at 6.9, 911 Lone Star at 6.9, American Idol 6.7, Bachelor at 6.4, and Grey's Anatomy at 6.2. I weep for our culture.
I only knew four of those.
They're all reality TV. Is no one Twitch watching a drama or a sci-fi show?
There
or
are no
Grey's Anatomy.
Man, there's no good dramas, man.
This Is Us isn't a reality show, is it?
I don't even know what that is.
I think it's some TV show. Okay, obviously it's on TV rating charts.
They're not watching The Expanse or, I don't know, Black Mirror.
Yeah, but they're all on Netflix and stuff like that, Mad Men.
Yeah, so they're not getting counted.
Expanse is on Amazon.
I mean, what's TV? Like, that's one thing my wife's got frustrated with, because I took the aerial off the roof for renovations. So she's having to program her own entertainment. It's killing her.
She
has to pick what she wants to watch.
I haven't paid for cable TV in a very long time. I want to say 10 years because I've managed to do just internet for a very long time now. And I get something in the mail about twice a week from Spectrum saying, did you know you could give us more money? I used to get phone calls from them saying, hey, we see you don't have TV service, only internet. So what are you doing for entertainment? It's like, I'm using the internet. I don't really watch TV that much. I don't believe you. Are you pirating shows? No, I'm just using the internet and don't watch TV much. What do you mean you don't watch TV much? Everybody watches TV. So what are you using, like Netflix or something? It's like, well, yes, occasionally I do use Netflix. And, you know, once I said that, of course, the guy goes, oh, okay, Netflix. Yeah, well, we can beat Netflix. And he goes into a spiel. And at that point, I'm like, okay, we're done.
Go away.
Yeah, it's like, go away. I'm not going to, why would I pay for a service I'm not going to use?
And I have three or four websites that have six or seven channels on each website that are just streaming constantly. Well, I want to watch fucking cartoons, man. I know where to go to watch that. I don't have to go to an anime channel.
I was explain that to this kid who was calling me. I was more just having fun talking with him at that point.
I'm just explaining, you know, the way I do it. Well, I don't need cable, man, and I don't need to program my own shit because other people out there are, do it for you and stream it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
I was just, like I said, like I get something from them all the time saying, you know, you could give us more money for a service you're not going to use. And it's like, fuck off.
Like, the one I'm on right now is five channels active out of seven. And first one's playing all the Sopranos back to back. So it'll take a couple of days.
Yeah.
The one I'm watching right now is all Cowboy Bebop series is being played out. The WWE channel. I'm never on that one. And then there's Forensic Files on the next one.
Sure.
So, and then I got a movie channel.
So, one, their rating systems are kind of fucked up because, you know, they're not counting a whole bunch of things, especially when it comes to people watching stuff online like you're talking about. None of that's getting counted. But, yeah, too. It's like, you know, they're counting all of Twitch as one TV show. So, I don't know. I think it's funny, and I think it's indicative of what's, you know, people are moving to these different services because they're either tired of regular TV, or whenever I go visit my parents who do have regular TV, you know, of course, they're watching TV all the time, and it's just like, good God, there's a lot of commercials.
I mean, yeah.
YouTube's getting bad here lately, too, but I, you know, that's what Adblock is for. But, yeah, shit, dude. I mean, regular TV anymore, it's like every 5 minutes they cut for commercial and play, like, you know, as much commercial as the show. And it's like, you know, I asked my dad, it's like, how do you watch this? He goes, what?
I watched this episode of Tucker with the ads left in. By the end of it, man, I didn't know whether I had high blood pressure or a brain parasite. I was shit scared.
I believe it.
Holy crap, man.
It's like, yeah, I asked my dad, it's like, how do you watch TV like this? He goes, what do you mean? I'm like, with all these flipping commercials.
They don't see it,
he
man.
Didn't even notice it. Yeah, he's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, well, I usually get my shows on all at once and not with commercials in the middle. And I'm just not used to having the, you know, break every 3 minutes for a freaking commercial.
What do you mean you have to wait till next week to see the next episode?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's like, no, I'm just going to queue up all of Red Dwarf and I'll be good for the night. What are you talking about?
What do you mean the news comes on at 6? No, I can watch it anytime. Like, yeah, it's like this. While we schedule ourselves, my parents do the same thing. That, well, we're watching The Voice at 8 o'clock. And why?
Well, I mean, Dad's got a DVR so he can watch the news later because he doesn't want to deal with it when it's on. But, you know, he'll fight with the thing because he'll start watching the news before it's done recording. And then, I mean, it's just like, I mean, yeah, it's like, okay, man, whatever works for you, but fuck.
Are you making your life hard on that one?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like, good Lord, your system's complicated. Why do you have 6 remotes for your TV? Well, we don't use those 3. We only use this one, but your mom uses that one. And it's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are they doing on the coffee table?
I don't know.
I had that argument with my in-laws, you know, like, well, that one's because the father-in-law is blind. We like to let him think he's controlling the TV.
Oh, God.
I'm like, all right.
Wow. Well, okay, I've only got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, but RU's tip about leaving the decoy TV remotes out for your visually impaired in-laws to use is a pretty good one.
That's tip number 32 on having a good Christmas at home with your family.
I mean, that's a bit like leaving the controller. I used to do that with my sister. Leave the controller unplugged on the Nintendo so they thought they were playing.
Tune in next week, Al, and I'll show you how to create a plague of locusts in your grandma's bedroom.
Well, that escalated quickly. So, what I have for you this week in Digital Dojo is not typical. So, this is one of those awesome lists, right, where somebody's curated a list of links. And this one's specifically on dealing with remote work. I know I'm working remotely these days. A lot of people are working remotely these days, if you have a job. And it's also got stuff on there about getting a job that's remote. So there's some interesting articles and links on here, some job board links on here, and even some interview tips for when you're doing remote interviews and the like. So I thought there were some interesting links. I have not dug through this extensively. I don't know how much of this is good, but some of the initial skimming of it looked decent. So, you know, it's something. But that's all I've pretty much got for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight we have, even though it's been quiet, myself, Sardonyx, The Bot, Cyberlord, Cycros, DPView, Madman, and The Coffee Maker. Madman, closing thoughts.
You don't really need TV anymore. And there's enough free streaming on the internet, like legitimate streaming sites. I don't even think you need to pay for it if you don't want to.
No, not generally. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Just remember, Mad Max took place in 2021. Just leave you that to think about.
Son of a bitch.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now just go nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.